Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I told you, Williamson. I told you the Western Force were the real deal. I told you.
This is what I sound like about my fantasy team. Jeez.
I know. Well, look, if there's any opportunity to, because I know that we have to kind of really push, with Super Rugby Women's, I know that we there are those really established teams, but I had a feeling that the Force are going to finish. In second this year and genuinely challenged for a title, and I cannot believe how well they played over the weekend. So let's talk about the round of Super W that was, and God, what a great round it was of the competition, and it has thrown everything wide open in terms of how the performances actually were. It was a game. We had massive surprise results. We had a thriller in Canberra, first of all, with the Brumbies prevailing 24-22 against the Melbourne Rebels in probably, one of the closest games we've seen in a while. Something about that particular clash, the Rebels really get up for that game against the Brumbies, which is fantastic. We have a big surprise, which is the Waratahs absolutely demolishing the Drua at Lautoka, 21-62. It was a proper demolition. Nathan, I could see you just grinning from ear to ear there, having a bit of a smile. And then, of course, the final match, which was over in the West. I believe I've swapped them around, but it was the Western Force who claimed their first ever victory over the Queensland Reds. What a round that it was. Nathan, it was just so much to enjoy. What a round. Yeah, loved it.
Two close games, an absolute blowout. But I loved being a Waratahs fan. But some really, really high-quality rugby. As I said, it sort of picked up from where sort of SRP's left off and just being so unpredictable and so close. Like, it's just great.
Yeah, it is. So before we quickly dive into the round and also preview next round in our rapid-fire version of this podcast, we, of course, have our left field topic, and the question is: who do you think you can win against in a run at straight challenge? We're talking a professional player who you actually think you might be able to knock off.
Jesus Christ! See, this is the thing of my position. This, I've now got to interview people, and if they hear this, they're going to go, "All right, prove it." So, who do I actually think I can do it to?
Who do you actually think you can win it beat in a run at straight challenge?
All right, let's go through the positions. It's not a forward. Let's be real. It's not a forward. I'm trying to think, has anyone got like a broken arm at the moment I can think of? It's probably not one of those big ass wingers. On a center, yeah, I'm gonna have to go halfback. Jake Gordon, come on, run straight. Just got, I know that'll piss him off as well. There's not a chance he hears this, but if it does,
I would love it if he hears this. Someone pass it out to Jake Gordon. I want to know.
Please don't. He'll actually fold me in half.
No. I know. Look, he's a professional. He's a professional athlete. Of course, he'll fold you in half. God, who would I like to do in a hit and run challenge? Part of me would kind of like to try a run at a forward. Not necessarily. I know I'm probably going to get smashed, but I trust that 15 years of playing rugby would prepare me for one decent hit up and getting smacked. And I've been smacked in a rugby game before. Ned Hannigan, come at me. And I know for a fact that he's already smacked Christy Doran. So, if Christy can take it, so can I.
you're good old master in charge.
Yeah.
I was sick of my answer because otherwise I'll take an injured player. That was going to be my next guess, but nah, that's a cop out. It's a cop out.
It's a cop out. No. I love that we went with Tars, but look, if let's just say I would not want to run at Lenny Kittel. That boy will decapitate, will absolutely destroy me. So
the 95 of the competition as well would just absolutely leave me with just like just ribs of dust and me just in an absolute ball of pain.
It is true. It is true. Now, be careful, everyone, in the run. If you're doing a run and straight challenge, run it straight safely. Be safe, guys. It's be safe.
A safe message from the drop kickoff.
It's a safe message from the drop. Your safe message from the drop kickoff. If you run it straight safely. And on that bombshell, let's move over to Nathan's news roundup. As always, of course, we're going to talk about the Super W news, but I want to hear about any other sort of news that's kind of jumping in around in the world of Super Rugby Women's and Australian Women's Rugby. Are we ready to roll, good sir?
We are ready to roll.
Okay, we are on. Once I get my bloody timer out, god dang it. We are on in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, let's start the nation's capital as the Brumbies started quickly as Fataa said Meleka to the Rebels backline. Yes, we're now swearing in Greek. Deal with it. The Rebels then hit back with a Jamie Nuka as the hooker exploded for a double before Tanya Naden sealed the win for the hosts. When headed to Fiji as Maya Angelou-Stewart inspired the Waratahs to victory. Desi Hezi Miller got a double as the winger proved it was Miller time for the Waratahs. Sky Churchill sealed the win as they launched themselves into favouritism. We finish in Perth as Madeline Sarah Klein took the Reds into the Outer Banks to race to an early lead. Crikey, Caitlin Irwin got the Queenslanders back in there, but the Force made the right decision at the end, closing out the win and getting themselves into contention to Nick's delight. We then look towards Sevens in Hong Kong as the women name their squad for the premier event in the tournament. The big gun Tarita comes back in as Tim Walsh makes several changes. Time.
Jesus, you are getting too good at this. I'm going to have to cut down the time. You have 30 seconds left.
Damn it. I should have had more. I don't look at the time when I do this. I just kind of go off my notes. And there's a couple of stumbles in there, and I thought, oh, does that just cost me time? Like, I just had to just try and wing it. But
yeah,
at work.
Yeah.
We can make it work.
Look, we make it work. It's the nature of the beast trying to rub it around. But everyone listening, if you want Nathan to really struggle and want a time cut down, send me through and tell me how fast Nathan needs to round up the news as quickly as possible. It seems 90 seconds.
Better yet. Next alternative pitch. You pitch me people's names and I'm going to try and work them in.
Oh, yes. I like it. Send us your name, your Twitter bio.
Players' names. That's going to be too hard. Even the realms of possibility.
Just really mess with you now. Come on, mate. Rhyme for me, boy.
Gambridge.
Let's talk about this round that we just enjoyed. I have a feeling that you and I both have an answer to this, to the question. We just kind of posed ourselves a very simple question, which was, what was our standout game of the weekend? And I think we both have a particular answer in regards to that. So, Nathan, what was yours and why wasn't the New South Wales Waratahs smacking the shit out of Fiji?
Because after 3 years of picking him on this pod to win against Fiji, they finally did it. Going to Fiji and putting a score like this on a Fijian side cannot be understated, just how good they were. You know, I think it speaks to the fitness and speaks to the sort of, like, again, a lot of the sort of Wallaroos coaches have come in and said, you know, that a lot that group is professional without the sort of professional tag to them. And you could quite clearly say that was the fitness levels and skills that just held up under pressure. You know, we sort of touched on it in that review then, but I thought both wingers were excellent. You know, Matt Stewart and Desiree Miller, both looking exceptional. I mean, I think Stewart's got 5 tries out of 2 games, which is freaky. You have Caitlin Leaney coming back in the squad really sort of made a difference. And when you bring it on, Wallaroos off the bench, like, you know, Bree Hoy, Eva Kapani, who's just casually taking 3 or 4 defenders over a line to score, like she did against Wales, just makes such a difference. And you bring people with, like, Sky Churchill, been a breakout star for him as well. Like, having those people, you know, Britt Merlo, these players come in and really step up and add value, it makes this Waratahs team so dangerous heading forward. And, you know, a win like this in tough conditions when, you know, you sort of come up against a really sort of fierce crowd that was still sort of there from the emotion of the...
Yeah, no, they stuck around.
It was great.
Yeah, they did stick around.
And they had, you know, all sort of still in party mode when they're running out. I think speaking to Brady O'Gorman during the week, she was saying that they're trying to like do the pregame warm-up or pregame chat. They couldn't hear each other sort of speak because all you could hear was the crowd celebrating still going on leading into that game. So, as I said, you know, a win like this is so crucial, not only for, you know, getting one step closer, getting maybe a home semi-final, but just for confidence in establishing that, hey, it isn't talk. This Waratah team is the team to beat.
They are business. It was, I mean, you do not go to Fiji and suddenly pick up win by 40 bloody points against the current champions. I don't know if it was the draw just having an off day or anything like that, but the Waratahs certainly did not have an off day. They played extremely well. I do think, of course, you know, I know that the Drua dropped a couple of games last year. It would be wrong to write them off after a performance after this particular week. They literally managed to squeeze in the finals and then go on to win the tournament. Do not write them off at all. There will be, and particularly when they have a back-to-back weekend this weekend against the Force, there is plenty of time for them to still get momentum and grab a second win and firmly entrench themselves back at the top of the ladder. But what a game it was. It was unbelievable. Really, really enjoyable match.
It was great. And just to note on that, sort of, you look at last year, it was a 12-7 win their first game back at Fiji last year. Like, it's... So it's shown that it does actually take them time to get into the even Fiji getting used to Fijian conditions again. Like it takes some time to sort of build into a year, and you know, when they've still got so much quality coming back into these sides, and like as you said, the sort of style they play is so unique and so special that you know, they'll finish the year. I think it's Reds. Sorry, correct myself. They played Reds first round, Brumbies and Rebels for the final two games after this next one. Like they can constantly book themselves in the finals with a win then, and just it's anyone's game from there, which is where sort of the Fiji thrive.
Amen to that. It's get a sniff in finals, they'll be absolutely set. The match for me, and it'll come as no surprise to you, was the match over in the West. The Western Force, unbelievable, claiming a clean sweep against Queensland at home, which was really impressive. I'm not going to lie, the Force do look such a threat this year. And the one thing we were concerned about, where we mentioned in last week's podcast, was their cohesion, just play enough game time together. But I'll tell you what, they looked very good last week with a 22-meter rolling maul try. Trillian Primari is playing so well for that side as captain. Shout out to, oh God, who's the player? Samantha Wood, who I think was player of the match. Local talent, unbelievably good. Such a good player. If you haven't checked out Samantha Wood, like probably one of the most exciting prospects coming through the ranks in the West. And up against this Reds side, I mean, I don't necessarily think the Reds played that badly. I really don't think they did. It was just a case of, I don't want to say if it was an out, like they met the game physically. There was a strong physical contest. Maybe it was just tactics and approach and that experienced heads in the Force that kind of prevailed a little bit more. It felt like the decision-making of the Force was a little bit sharper. The choice to go to relevant weapons where necessary felt like it was a little bit more focused. But who'd have thought? Reds 0-2 already. Big surprise.
Crazy thing, isn't it? And again, we sort of touched on it last week that we weren't sure when you bring in all these international players, how they gel in the sort of, as you said, that continuity. But as you pointed, you're correct. It was that experience that won them the game. Like, you have such a good fallback. I think what shows has just been their defense. Like, just kind of looking over the stats, I think both their wins, they're only conceding two tries, less than 20 missed tackles. Like, they're doing all the fundamentals right. And you said, yes, Sam Wood looks, I think she spent time in Waikato, I want to say, in the Farrah Palmer Cup. Like, looks so much better for it as well. Like, you have these really nice pieces that are sort of now coming through the system, now getting sort of consistent game time, and all the international players are adding class rather than all of a sudden being just people that don't look like they play together. So it really sort of showed on the weekend in those sort of clutch moments. obviously, big test this week going to Fiji, playing a tough game against a Drua side that's going to be sort of hurting after their defeat. But, I mean, let's face it, after what we saw sort of last week, I'm not going to write them off. Like, if you can play that hard-nosed defensive style, that's the way they should have shut down Drua. So they've absolutely got the sort of type of game that can frustrate and really sort of minimize their effectiveness.
Absolutely. So let's talk this final weekend. Let's do our final predictions and talk about the games that we're particularly excited for, who we think is going to stand out. First up on the Friday night, it is the Waratahs playing the Rebels at SFS. It's going to be all doubleheaders this weekend in those games. The Waratahs will take the Friday game, playing the Rebels. Fiji and Drua up against the Western Force, as mentioned, in the doubleheader in Lautoka on the Saturday. And then the final game, the Queensland Reds and the Brumbies as part of that doubleheader up at Suncorp Stadium. Waratahs Rebels first. Interesting choice of the Waratahs have named pretty much a full-strength side. They've stuck with consistency, which I think is a very good reflection of how a bit of respect shown to the Rebels, because the Rebels, of course, you know, took the Brumbies all the way in Canberra. And the Brumbies have a lot of, you know, and the Rebels, rather, have a lot of really, really good talent that are, you know, coming through in their ranks. They've named the big names that kind of stuck out to me coming through. Of course, you've got your Grace Hamiltons, your Ashley Masters, who are looking really, really strong. They've got a new name who is starting in the front row for them, Laema Bosanavalagi. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. Who will be making her starting debut for the side, that she's come off the bench a few times. The big one for me, Mireille Clifford, on the bench. Such a dangerous boot for the Rebels. Really good player, AFL veteran, Super Rugby W veteran, very good player. But, I mean, I still see the Waratahs winning this one.
Yeah, it's just too much class. I mean, like, Laema coming back in, you know, as a starting debut for this year, just spent a bit of time in the Wallaroos camp last year as, like, a development player. But, yeah, there's just too much class when you go through that sort of back line. You even look at the sort of reserves when you can all of a sudden swap out someone with a plethora of caps like Em Robinson, bringing Bianca Hoy, who was great. Like, there's just too much class on the side. And whilst, you know, Grace Hamilton and Ash Masters will be up for the challenge, particularly Grace going up against her old side, I think there's too much sort of class. This is a red-hot Waratahs team. There's too much class. There's too much skill. They get the job done.
Yeah, I can't see it going any other way than that. Second game, you know, over in Lautoka, Western Force. Shout out to Trillian Pomare, as already mentioned. She plays her 25th game for the Western Force this weekend when she takes the field. Hasn't missed a single match since the competition's inception, which I think is insane. That is an insane stat. Incredibly, incredibly good. Even though they have lost a couple of players, they've lost Rosie McGeehan and then also a Blackburn in Pierre Tapsell, who is out for the season with a dislocated elbow. However, they do have a couple of other exciting talents that will be coming through the ranks there. Coming up against the Fijian side, who is also a relatively settled squad, but I think this is the game of the round. What do you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's sort of contrasting styles in a sense, where you look how sort of well the Force have started defensively. Yeah, again, the loss of McGeehan, she was great, in the sort of, particularly in that first round. So, like, that's going to be a big sort of gap to fill there. But Fijians just have a lot of class, and I don't think they get beat twice at home. I think they just sort of will do enough to get the job done, and all of a sudden you just sort of build that confidence back up like we saw last year. I think there's also a little bit of revenge on their mind going down when they last played in Perth, and it is sort of, that being the game that really, or not sort of kickstarted the Force's campaign leading there this year, but it's more that was that confidence game that showed that they can match it with the best. So I think Drua wouldn't have forgotten that, and I think Drua would just have a little bit more spice in this game and a little bit more motivation to perform.
Yeah, have to agree. I would go home field advantage, but I'd say the Force, they're going to have a red hot sauce, but it'll be a close one, I reckon. Final match, which is the Reds up against the Brumbies, should be a good clash here. The Reds have lost a couple of players, actually. I believe Greenhalgh and Soalahi are out due to injury, and the American import, Charlie Jacoby, has actually been called up for international duties, so she is out of the squad as well. They'll be releasing a couple of exciting debutants onto the bench as well as a result of that. Brumbies have lost Jay Huruahi, who is out for the season due to injury, I think a knee injury. Big loss for them. So Lamani will actually come into the scrum half starting role. Keep an eye out for a certain Basement Bay player in Bonnie Brewer, who injured her hand during the trials, but she is set to make her debut for the Brumbies off the bench. Very exciting game here.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the Reds 0-2. Like, who would have seen that coming? Given how well they played last year, like they were amazing. So it's a bit of desperation in them. Brumbies would have sort of realized how close they got against the Rebels, who I think turned down a chance to win a game with a tough penalty and back the line and just couldn't get it done in the end. But yeah, it's going to sound boring going all home sides, and I'm probably going all favourites, but I think there's just a bit more desperation in this Red side. Like, there's just a bit more. This is now sort of must win territory when you consider there's still a clash for the Waratahs to come. Like, you can't be relying on having a 1-win season getting yourself in the semi-finals. Like, if they want to be playing finals, this is must win. And if you're now essentially saying you have to finish the year with 2 straight wins, one of them being the Waratahs, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. So I think this ends up being must win for the Reds. They get it done.
Yeah, amen to that. I have to agree with you. There's more to them to lose. And I know it's really boring for us to say the home field advantage makes a difference in this round. I genuinely think it does. It really, really does. She's a short and sweet podcast, all done and dusted. Thank you so much, Nathan Williamson. It is a real pleasure to talk Super Rugby Women's with you. So for everyone listening, be sure to check out the Waratahs playing the Rebels, the Drua playing the Western Force, and the Reds playing the ACT Brumbies alongside Super Rugby Pacific. All of these games. There's plenty of rugby this weekend. What more could you want? Nathan, pleasure as always. And to all of our listeners, we'll catch you the next time round.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse, you can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself enough of a cut.